From the Headstuff Podcast Network, welcome to Motherfucklore, a podcast about words, Irish words, and words from Ireland. I'm Derek O'Shea.
I'm Geraldine McAvoy.
And I'm Padraig O'Quivonic.
And yes, it's a little emotional, but we wanted to see you all before we rode off into the sunset.
There'll be no riding.
Not on camera anyway.
No. Only at a safe social distance. No.
Jesus.
Indeed.
If you can ride from 2 meters away, Andy has frontage.
God, yeah, sure. Sure, what else could you be wanting?
Ah, lad, but stop. Not the riding already. We're only 2 minutes in.
Right, who had 48 seconds for the first sex reference? Congratulations, you've won a turkey.
Absolutely. Which one of the hosts? Hang on, we have a question.
Oh my God, we've got a question already.
Which one of the hosts gets custody of us?
Actually, I've foreseen this. It's going to be a very bitter custody battle. Like, think Kramer versus Kramer between Geraldine and Derek, to the point that they exhaust all of their resources and unfortunately you're all stuck with me.
Yeah.
So my apologies.
And then it was just about me and Derek hating each other, not me and Derek actually wanting custody, you know?
Yeah. Staying together just so we can hurt each other more. Yeah.
Like that Adam Driver film where he punches the wall, but I'm Adam Driver and you're Scarlett Johansson crying with that terrible haircut.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Scarlett Johansson is cast to play Derek in the Motherfucklore movie.
She's got great range.
Yeah, she has range. Phenomenal range. Absolutely.
So, can she play a white person? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know, man. Stay together for the kids. Yeah.
I mean, she's not, people don't really say no to her much. I'm sure she just, you know, gets to play whatever part she wants. And what are we going to do? Scarlett Johansson isn't the reason we're here today.
What? I have notes. I have fucking notes about Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, Scarlett Johansson isn't the reason we're here today. We thought this was for the final thing. I wanted to maybe go through, obviously, some questions people have, some comments people have, and some anecdotes about how the show got made and some of the behind-the-scenes malarkey that happened, and as well as, you know, our own favourite memories from the show, if that makes sense.
I'm really looking forward to people seeing how much we struggle when we try to do this, like, locally. Like, some of you have been to our, like, I'm sure maybe have been to our, like, live shows and have, like, seen us struggle there. But, like, not everybody has. So now you get a unique opportunity to see how many fucking takes we have to do this in. We managed to get the intro ready, but wait till we do the outro or fucking forget and then have to do it 25 minutes later.
I'll probably start off, I mean, roughly 4 years ago, we did our first episode. And our first episode, we had Shuin as well. And apart from that, it was myself and Geraldine and Padder. And we talked about, you know, we thought that, you know, by the time we finished this episode, no one was going to ask us about that anymore. But yes, it was about the letter V. And it became a kind of a regular thing. And if anyone is actually thinking of doing their own podcast, the first bit of advice I get is, when new listeners come in, the first thing they do is listen to your first episode when you are at your least experienced, not your worst. So if you ever do start your own podcast, delete your first episode after maybe 4 or 5 weeks and then let something else be your official first episode.
I thought you were going to say, if you're going to do a podcast, be very fucking good.
Well,
I mean, really good from episode number one, because that's what they will listen to.
But people who are good don't need advice.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say something even nicer. If you're listening to a new podcast and the first episode isn't great, give it time. I thought that's where you're going with it, but you're like, no, delete the first episode. It's shit.
I generally say when you go to a new episode, actually listen to the most recent episode. And what I'm actually thinking of doing, I'm going to do tomorrow when I'm just, you know, mourning the show, I'm going to make playlists of starter episodes. And so when people go on Spotify, they'll have like a taster palette of 7 or 8 episodes.
So, good question has just come in on the chat from Ante. So, wasn't there a deleted first Motherfucklore episode? And there wasn't, because there was a never aired first Motherfucklore episode. There was one that was so bad, it was meant to be episode one, and it wasn't episode one.
There were actually about 3 or 4 episodes that never made the never saw the surface of the earth, because they were awful.
There's one
where a contributor got so angry and they started like there's one where a contributor got so angry that like it was disagreed with in a charming way. And I thought, let's just let them tire themselves out and then just delete the recording.
Yeah, there's been a few where like you'd have a hastily cobbled together episode that was just me and Garadine and Derek. And that that might give you an indication as to when the planned episode with someone didn't quite work out for one reason or another. There was release the files. I think the Patreons need to hear this one. Conspiracy theory on what the forbidden episodes were. There's a question from Mira. How long do we wear the mourning veil? I think it's until the widow remarries.
It's at least after Christmas. You have to wear it until Christmas.
Until the widow remarries. So until Garadine gets her own podcast.
Yeah, there could be ages, lads.
So sometimes episodes, I actually think, let's park that for a while until, you know, because that felt a bit, you know, a bit fizzy. And so one particular episode, I thought that it was a bit fizzy. There was, I thought it could be a bit controversial, and I thought I'd rather listen to it with a cool head in a week or two's time. And then after reflection, myself and Brian thought, you know what, this is a good episode. Let's release it. What we didn't realize then was Garagine made a comment about a Midland celebrity, a favorable comment, and then we released it about a week after she made a favorable comment about the very same Midland celebrity, Mr. Niall Horan, and it sounded like two episodes in a row.
Okay,
it sounded like
this.
She was just nonstop talking about Niall Horan and kissing Niall Horan. It was never our intention to put these episodes back to back, and it created an unfair impression of Garrity. And I'd like to apologise in front of all our witnesses.
To be fair, though, if you had potentially at one stage possibly maybe shifted Niall Horan, I think I'd talk about it every week.
Yeah, I mean, in that particular instance, that wasn't what was happening. So I just didn't want to create this false narrative. If Niall Horan ever listened to our podcast, he'd be like, wow, that girl's really fucking weird. I definitely didn't shift her. In fairness, he probably didn't like.
Well, you can say I wasn't weird back then.
Yeah, no.
That's our first surprise of the evening we have in the waiting room, Mr. Niall Horan. I wish we did. That would be so cool. But we don't.
Best thing about that gag is that Motherfuckler has such an international audience, and people are tuning in from all over the world. And Motherfuckler also has such a young and hot and sexy audience that jokes about "This Is Your Life" just go over their fucking head. There's going to be a load of old man jokes that normally Brian cuts out of the editing
podcast.
And I
have to fucking sit through.
And you have to Google. You have to Google just to get the cultural touchstone we're referring to.
What are you talking about?
But this is
Lugs Brannigan? I don't know. F in the chat if you know who fucking Lugs Brannigan is, because I don't know. And I had to listen to you talk about it.
But a big thing is, I see this in children's cartoons. One of the great things of being a dad is you see that a lot of children's cartoons are blatantly plagiarized off old television, and parents recognize them. And so some of our younger listeners will eventually look at a rerun of The Two Ronnies and realize that It's a Slán for Me and a Slán Mhaim Seo is a direct reference to The Two Ronnies sign off.
Was it?
Yeah. Was it? No. It's Goodbye from Me and Goodbye from Him.
Yeah, but it's a Slán Mhaim Seo.
Saying goodbye doesn't belong to somebody, Derek.
Yeah, but
you know that. Like, goodbye is not exclusive to the two Ronnies.
In your head canon, it was a tribute to Ronnie Corbett and Ronnie Barker.
You think I wear these glasses for my health?
Yes.
You think I wear them for my eyesight?
Are they plain lenses all this time?
It's just hipster lenses.
So that was the...
Think you're useful at work if you wear glasses. It's amazing. You can actually record a podcast during daytime and they won't notice.
That was the tremendous story of our first episode. I'll give a tip to anybody starting a podcast. If you are going to start a podcast, in your first episode, deal with the topic, but not completely. Like, say, for example, off the top of my head, one of the eight letters not featured in the Gaelic Irish alphabet, and promise that you're going to get around to the rest of them. And then 4 years later, when you know that the clock is running down on your podcast, maybe do a half-assed job of covering all of them in one go.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
Niall has entered the chat. What?
It's our Niall.
Okay, good. Okay, great, it's stuff. Not Niall Horan. Jesus Christ.
It might be.
I think, the thing is, initially I thought there was a few, when I went to Alan Bennett, not the English writer Alan Bennett, who's the head of Het Stuff, and he knew that I had a popular Twitter account and I had a book coming out, and he was talking to me, what's this do you have a, what's your podcast idea? And I said it's basically about Irish, but it's going to be, the tone was going to be QI meets Sesame Street. And that's where I had this idea initially that we'd have kind of letter of the day. I didn't realize this podcast was going to go on for 4 years and that, you know, we'd run out.
We'd do 26 and then, weeks and then we'd cut.
Well, it was kind of that. I thought, you know, that'll be plenty, you know, we'll have run out of things to talk about. It didn't happen. We could probably have many more times. But then once initially I thought, oh, let's have a letter of the week. And then it just got so tired so quickly after about two or three goes. And then I thought, well, let's park that. And I had a few other concepts. I thought we were going to look at legal concepts, a Breton interpretation versus a Bunratt interpretation. And that just, yeah,
fizzled it was limited. The fuck out.
I mean, initially I thought, like, we can look at the news of the week from a brand perspective. No, we can't. It's an awful idea.
Oh my God, that's a terrible idea. That was fucking terrible. I'm glad you never brought that to us. We would have ripped you to shreds with that one.
Myself, Emer, and...
Actually, I don't want to do this podcast. It's just stupid.
Myself, Emer, and Jodie Buckley-Coogan recorded one episode like this, and it was so bad. I thought, well, you know what? Like, at least we know now. At least we know now, and no one's ever going to find that tape. It's hidden somewhere in the Headstuff Podcast Network.
You get it after the 30 years, you know, when they release the files. Yeah, it'll be
okay. Like the Zapruder tape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've never even heard that one, you know. I just heard stories of it.
Yeah, Emer was hungover or something, I think, maybe.
Emer was hungover. No, she just handed in her thesis.
That was it. She was academically hungover. Yeah, so yes. She just handed in her thesis and was like delirious and arrived at the podcast studios being like, let's talk Brian.
So, Emer, sorry she can't make it tonight. She asked me to say hi to you all.
Yeah, she is the ginger spice. Of Motherfucker. She is going solo. I don't know. She's not. She just can't make it tonight. We're very sad that she can't be.
Yeah. It would be nice to
But that's what you out. Told me as well when you slid into my DMs on Twitter asking to be part of it. You were like, oh, it's going to be Sesame Street meets QI. I think you might have also mentioned Countdown. And I was like, I love Susie Dent. Absolutely. Let's do Countdown. And then it was not any of those things. You're a fucking liar, essentially, but we're here to confront you. This is an intervention about Derek and your
lying.
This
is an intervention. Yeah.
Yeah.
About me and my crazy ideas. No, it's it
did
is.
Did he slide into your DMs, did he?
He did, yeah. I had well actually him. Yeah. On Twitter. So he had some nonsense about Brexit and the Irish for Brexit on Terma.ie, and I used to work for Terma.ie, and there's very specific rules about proper nouns. I'm sure I've mentioned it. Why doesn't she have doctor in her Zoom name? Because I don't want to be like that person who has doctor in her Zoom name. I was like, well, actually, the reason why it's just the Irish for Brexit is because of the proper noun, and that's you don't translate those generally speaking. And then you were like, wow, you're just the type of pedantic freak who'd be great for this podcast idea I have. So that's where I Derek slid into my DMs.
I thought because obviously, like when you run an account like the Irish for you, you do come across people, you know, who disagree with you and maybe who disagree with you from a height and in a certain way. And when someone disagrees with you in an entertaining and informed and gracious way, you think, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I saw that, like, Gary, I had to look at her other tweets and I saw the kind of research she was doing. Oh, that's exactly the kind of talent we need on my podcast.
Talent. And, yeah. Shit posting. It's a talent, guys. That's why they gave me the doctorate. I put it in my name.
Mm-hmm. God, that's an amazing story when you consider that I sent Derek an Irish slang word for Mickey and he thought it was funny. So we had a burger and he invited me to be on a podcast.
Oh my God, that's so weird. That's how adult men make friends in the 21st century. Here's a dirty word. Do you want a burger? Yeah.
It was about the fireplace potato, wasn't it?
Yeah, Falker and Tinton.
And you've been making the same fucking jokes for what, five, six years now?
Mm-hmm. But it's just funny.
Our love language.
Yeah, dick jokes.
Mira says burgers. That's our love, like dick joke burger. Dick joke burger.
But at some point in history, you know, some fellow was, you know, was in their house in Ireland in their shack and they were cooking a potato on a fire and they thought, that's a bit like a Mickey.
And what shape was the potato?
It went into the language.
Mickey. What was going on with the potato?
It was Mickey-shaped. It was Mickey-shaped.
Yes. On a fire, though.
Would you have never cooked? Yeah, well, a little. Sorry, it's cold.
It's not cold on
fire.
It's fire.
Like, snow.
Yes,
that's how this podcast got going.
Dick jokes and Bunsen burner. Yeah.
Bunsen's a great shout. That was a great shout.
It's good burger. Good stuff.
That's one of the great regrets I have to this podcast, is that Casey's and Cork never sponsored me after all of that. After all that legwork I did. I did so much work.
After all the fine talk.
Man, if anyone has...
At Walt Disney World in Disneyland, you look for hidden Mickeys. Yeah. I'm reminded, because it came up on Twitter there recently, that was James talking about Mickeys. It came up on Twitter recently, but I was reminded, because Euro Disney, they knew what they were doing. They put out a tweet saying food tastes better when it's Mickey-shaped, right? Which is true, because I've had corn dogs and they are delicious. But anyway, they meant as in Michael Mouse. Anyway, the Joseph O'Connor in his book, one of the Secret World of the Irish Mail, I think the first one, he goes to Florida in 1994 for the World Cup with all the Republic of Ireland fans, and he goes around Disneyland with them, and they're being shown around by a very ebullient and wonderful and lovely and Galgoyrach tour guide called Wanda, who's shown them around, and she introduces them to the largest freestanding Mickey in the world.
Oh my God.
But she's introducing like 75 lads from Ireland to the largest, and she's talking about how much she loves
Mickey
rides. And it's like, and would you be fond of the old ride yourself, Wanda? She said, oh, I get up extra early in the mornings to come down and have a few rides.
Rides for free before anyone's here.
Before anyone else is here. So,
you dirt.
But I think it's just, and literally all Joe O'Connor did was he wrote down what she said with these Irish lads taking the piss out of her. Unbeknownst to her, she probably didn't realise it until she read the book, if ever she did. And it's still the greatest piece of writing I've ever
read. Love that. Poor Wanda thought the lads were loving her Mickey content. Oh, yeah. They were, but not for the same reasons.
They were just so interested in the freestanding Mickey.
What the fuck is a freestanding Mickey? What the fuck is that?
It's not supported by anything else, Gertie.
Stands up
enough Disney talk now.
Yes, I'm sure you have loads of questions to ask us, Derek. Sorry.
Yeah, Patter, what was your, your first kind of mother folklore memory, or when did you think that, do you think that this is ever going to go anywhere? Did you honestly think we were still going to be here in 4 years' time?
4 years, no, but I figured it would have a decent run when I got into the studio and Xun Ni Huynh was there. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that lends this a lot of legitimacy because she's a very, very important person. And sure enough, we didn't have her back.
We did. We had Shun back.
We had
a couple of times.
Had her back a few times.
Yeah, a few episodes. Yeah.
But she was doing her own podcast, excellent podcast, Bjorgen. Which is still amazing. Going. And I'd heartily recommend you all tune into.
It's amazing. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Anno, look, to be honest with you, I was completely and totally blown away by not just the expertise, but the energy that was in the room and just the crack that was having. Ante wants to know
freestanding Mickey.
Freestanding Mickey or Free State Mickey. That's a nickname for Michael Collins, I think, isn't it? Just the energy and the passion in the room was great, and I just thought it was always quite well facilitated by you. You bring a lot of, I'm never going to say this again, so write this down. Mm-hmm. You bring a lot of humility to the room, and a little bit too much modesty, like, for what you know and what you've achieved. And I think that makes things work, that you're able to interview somebody, and sometimes I'm sitting in the room with you and I know for a fact that you know more about the topic that you're interviewing someone on, and you don't let that slide, you don't let that slip out. And I think I knew there was some life in this, but I didn't think we'd still be doing it 4 years later. Fairly stunned. There must be some sort of mad statistic that somebody knows about podcasts. Like, how long does the average podcast last after episode one? I think a staggering amount of them disappear after like three or four episodes. So 4 years. This is episode 185, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's five or six. We have another, there was an episode we put out in Patreon where Amy Lou O'Connor was talking about her Irish mythology tarot cards, and because she's actually releasing that deck, I'm going to release that episode on Main, so more people hear about it, because they are amazing. It's really exciting how all every part of the tarot has an Irish mythology reference to it that's completely valid for it, and I think it's something that a lot of people will get a lot of enjoyment out of. So that'll probably go out probably the same day as this episode.
Oh cool.
Fab.
Yeah. So episodes. I know everyone wants to know what's the host's favorite episode. What's your favorite episode, Derek?
I was going to ask Garagine first about her first impressions of the Motherfucker Studio and the experience, because you had never planned on being a broadcaster.
I never listened to a podcast before. I do listen to podcasts now, but I definitely don't listen to podcasts like as much as like the average person who listens to our show listens to. I have a few that I listen to kind of like quite regularly. Mm-hmm. But like, this is not one of them. Sorry, I'm already here for them. I already know what happens, so I don't listen back. But I would generally listen to the ones that I'm not on, or the ones that I wasn't on. I would listen to those ones. But yeah, I think initially I sort of didn't know what to expect, and I wasn't really in the podcast scene, so I didn't know what to anticipate from it. So, but I remember I was coming home because I used to drive to the studios all the time because I worked the north side. So I would drive across and I'd park outside because usually we would record in the evening. So the parking was usually free. So, and there was never anyone on Lombard Street. So I would park there.
I mean, for good reason.
Yeah.
Lombard Street.
So I would usually park right outside, and I would give you guys lifts home sometime or lifts somewhere. I drove Pather home a few times, and I can't remember where I was bringing you. It was maybe the train station one evening, Derek, and we were driving along by the quays and we were just chatting about it. And I'd say it was maybe 3 or 4 months in. It was the winter time, I think, because it was dark. And you were saying that like, oh, I see this having like the lifespan of a year, and I was like, okay, like a year, sure, I think that's probably a possibility. And at that point I wasn't really sure kind of where my contribution would be, because I was kind of like, I'll just be brought in for like the legal stuff and maybe some grammar and translation bits. So that's kind of what I envisioned it being, but then it just kept going and people kept listening. Like, that's the thing that surprised me most, like people were actually fucking listening. And I think the moment that I realized it was a thing, it was one of the greatest moments in my life. If the person who did this is here, because I'm sorry I didn't get her name, but I was in a pop-up Gaeltacht one evening and I was heading home with my friend. So I was coming out the door, I opened the door and I was leaving. And just as I opened the door to leave, the girl right next to the door said, Garagine. And I turned and I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, never mind, this is an Irish. She's like, oh, no. And then she turned and looked at me and she was like, Antas a Garagine on Mother Folklore? Are you Garagine from Mother Folklore? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I was just telling my friend about your podcast. And I was like, I'm famous. It's happened. And I was freaked the fuck out. And I was like, oh my God, thanks so much for listening. And it was the first time that I had like encountered that in the wild or whatever. I mean, I know it's a pop-up quilt, so like maybe not the wild, but like,
oh, it's fucking was such wild. It is wild.
Yeah. Wild. But it was such a bizarre experience that I was like, shit, man, this actually, like, people are actually properly listening. Like, I knew there was people on Twitter and stuff listening to us, but it was strange to see like that somebody that I didn't know had heard of it, because like most of my friends, like my non-Irish speaking friends who exist in that other part of my life, sort of just knew this sort of weird thing that Gar does, but like didn't really engage much with it. So yeah, I think that's when I was like, oh damn, this has potential. So I think, yeah, I didn't expect it to be what it was, and I'm so grateful that it has been, because I mean, my new job has come as a direct result of being involved in Mother Folklore. Like it's that's a fact. I met my new boss at a conference and she was like, we were chatting about the, oh my God, what a complete Ashling box. And she said, oh, I went to school with one of the girls. And I was like, oh, one of the girls was just on our podcast. And she was like, what podcast? And then she looked at my name tag and she was like, oh my God, do you do Mother Folklore? And I was like, yeah, now she's my boss. So we worked together, or we're about to start working together. So it were not for Mother Folklore, I wouldn't have had that. So it's been really, really cool. Yeah.
It's been fantastic. I'm so glad that happened for you, and I'm so glad just was that more or less the team we've been involved in with Folklore have it has opened doors for them. I remember, because I suppose as I was saying there, I had all these ideas going in what the podcast is going to be like. I think it was probably the moment, Gardaí, you actually mentioned to me that you wanted to talk about dyslexia and the Irish language, that I realized that we had the potential to be like to address so many more things that the keyhole of the Irish language could show a lot of things through it. And we had the potential to open those things. And I think, to get back to your question better, I think a lot of the episodes that have been most meaningful to me have been the ones where we've actually looked at how talking about Irish has allowed us to talk in a broader way about inclusion. I suppose that's been the way we talked about other minority languages and how that they why they're similar and how they're different from Irish, and how it talked about, I suppose, sign language, and then obviously talked about Sinead Burke and her as a guest as well. And I think those were significant because I think it was there's more than just crack there. Right. Just one second. I was gonna.
Oh, it's the BBC tad from with the kids coming in. No, oh no, yeah. It's Aaron coming in with a beer. What a woman! Get round of applause for Aaron coming in with a beer on Aaron.
I'm plaintively holding an empty cup of tea. You know, nothing's coming up those stairs.
Yes, cough a little bit.
Aaron didn't want to be on camera, and you know,
she came in with a pint though. Fair play to her. What a cameo!
It's really hot.
So it's really hot,
so I really needed to cool down. So
I thought you were just shading your wife.
Look how frosty cold that is.
John wants to know what kind of beer you're drinking.
First of all, it's 8 degrees, which is a Cork company. It's a sunburnt ale.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a red ale. If you're listening, a bit of SpanCon if you're
absolutely some, 8 degrees. And look, the glass has been in the fridge. It's been chilled.
Oh my god, she's a keeper. Oh my god, Jesus Christ. Oh my god, what a woman. What a woman. F in the chat for Aaron, man.
Is that a meme? Is that a thing? F in the chat.
I had to Google what that meant.
Oh,
it's a gamer thing. Thanks for the F in the chat. Yeah, I'm done with the kids. I know what it is.
Is that dank? Is it? Am I dank yet?
I saw someone post on Twitter and I was like, I don't know what F in the chat means. And then I Googled it and then I saw it on Urban Dictionary. Like everyone's aunt when she doesn't understand a reference.
Like the one who thinks LOL is lots of love.
Yeah.
So it's like, your granny died last night, LOL. Not very poggers of you. No, I'm not poggers at all, Mira.
I don't know what that reference
is. I am neither poggers nor pogchamp.
No, we had a guy in school whose nickname was Pog. It was based on his initials, but like, then we found out there was these things in America called Pogs. I had no idea.
Remember Pogs? They're back.
I loved Pogs.
In Pog form.
Remember Alfie's back in Pog form. Yes, God. Uh-huh. Enough. I think Simpsons references it. Since they're done. We can talk without referencing the Simpsons, can we?
Yeah, we can. But I mean,
we suppose inevitably you have to. It's like trying to not accidentally quote the Bible.
Yeah, it's like finding a Bible verse. There's a Simpsons quote for everything. apparently,
Ezekiel 23:20. I think is that the one.
Is that like the path of the righteous man is beset on both sides?
It's a Bible quote.
Come on, stop. Okay. What's going on?
It's the Bible quote about Mickey's.
Oh, is it?
Freestanding Mickey's or supported Mickey's?
Free state Mickey's.
Freestanding, yeah.
Anyway, that's enough.
They have a little blue shirt on them.
Anyway, so we got a little bit off topic there. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Blue shirt Mickey.
I said it was cold.
That's funny.
Anyway.
Yes.
Episodes.
Your favorites are the meaningful ones, the ones where we talk about, where we try and make the world a better place, talk about inclusivity and all that.
Exactly. I think the fact that the podcast is able to be more than just, silliness and fun. We actually had the potential to do that. We had a third dimension. It meant that the laughs were more meaningful too.
Oh, bless. Oh,
that's nice.
Because my favorites are the ones with the laughs. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like serious stuff.
I don't like serious stuff. Why would I like serious stuff? Mm-hmm. No.
But the ones with the laughs were great crack, man. Like,
do you remember Brianna Perkins?
Yeah.
That was like, Brenna Parkins.
Poor Brian had to cobble together an episode for us, just from us just having a fucking great time. Yeah. And then we went for pints after.
We did. Yeah, that was class. That was brilliant. We went to O'Neill's Pier Street with like the former Sydney Rose.
Yeah.
And our boyfriend.
Had a fucking great
just
time.
Just sinking pints of Guinness. And I swear to God, like, she swore more on mic than off mic. It's like, as soon as I went, like, how does this woman now work in television?
I know. How does she manage morning television as well? Like, she does morning television. As well. Like.
You cannot call people shit cunts on morning television. That is not something you can do.
Yes.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's amazing.
You jolly well can't.
Yeah. You can't fudge that one. You probably can't even do a fudge, can you?
We can't say fudge.
Sugar.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you can say you're such like 10 siblings on morning television, though. the look she gave him.
The oof felt all around the world. Oh my God. Seamus is a great guest. I enjoyed that episode.
Yeah,
it was really
that's
good.
A good episode.
Once upon a time, Fireside is the Irish storytelling podcast. Every week we breathe new life into old stories from folklore and mythology, from the mysterious landing of the old Celtic gods to the epic wars fought by Cú Chulainn and Queen Maeve, right down to the petty squabbles between headstrong mortals and roguish fairies. We already have a huge collection available with a new episode every Wednesday. This is not just a podcast for folklore fiends, but for anyone who enjoys a good story. And who doesn't love a good story? My name is Kevin C. Olhan, and I am your host and your fireside bard. Wherever you are in the world, you can always join me by the fireside.
My poxy job and children have made me miss so many great guests.
Derek said, fuck them kids.
Basically, I missed Brianna because I think Art had just been born.
You were on paternity leave for like only 4 episodes. But can I just say they were 4 great episodes? I
mean, because we went fucking wild. The teacher didn't come to class. Yeah. We went bonkers.
And we didn't even get a substitute teacher. Like,
no,
it's not even,
no, we were waiting.
The
it was
lunatics
quarter past
took over
we were
the
like,
asylum.
It was like a 11:15. We were like, I don't think there's a teacher coming. And no teacher came. And we were just like, what the fuck?
That was what we had. We had Arlene Gould talking about fantasy languages. Mm-hmm. We had Martin McInumra, which is probably still my number one favorite episode that we've ever done. Just because I found it so fascinating. Just this idea of what we used to eat in Ireland before the spud arrived. That was just, that blew my mind. I thought it was excellent.
I learned so much in that episode, yeah.
We had Leisach Ní Coisteala talking about the queer dictionary, which was a real
was
fun
was
episode.
Really fun
that was
episode.
Really good. Just talking about like inventing new words for conditions that De Waldraha or O'Donnell just basically didn't knew existed. So this idea of being gender fluid or two-spirited or non-binary, just terminology that didn't basically exist in any language in 1962, that we have to now invent on the fly. And realizing that kind of like, you know, even the episode that you and I did, G, about fluency.
Yeah.
That was fun. But I mean, you kind of just learn along the way that like languages all just made up bollocks.
Made up shite, That people try and put, here's the rule. Like, you just made that up.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, yes, this is the rule. It's been the rule all along.
You never end a sentence on a preposition. Why? Yeah. Why? Why would you do that for? Why?
A lot of those rules just seem so capricious and vexatious.
Yeah.
And like say, starting a sentence with and, I do that all the time.
Yeah, people do that in speech all the time. Yeah. And people who get too bent out of shape over the way people talk, be wary of those people, I think, is a good grammar is a social construct. Yes. Yeah. The vocal fries is great for that. Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you listened to it. The vocal fries is a great, I've learned a lot.
Like,
from
a great show.
Fries.
White and
They're
Strunk.
They're actually like experts
graves.
In what they talk about.
I will say, look, White and Strunk obviously gave a lot to the corpus, but also to an equal extent, fuck them.
Fuck them shits.
The Emer and Garrity Duolingo episode was good. Yeah.
I don't even remember doing that. Was that at a Lecture Picnic? I think we did one on Lecture Picnic, me and Emer. Actually,
Is Gael Fossach here? We have a, I see it just on the Twitter, watching the last Motherfucker podcast is going to reveal my bad habit of talking back to podcast hosts as if they can hear me. Gotta love parasocial relationships.
I love that if people are just like chatting back to it. Like there's, I do that as well when I listen to podcasts.
There's Gay Fawcett, fantastic. You're so welcome.
Thank you very much. People,
sorry, I've been neglecting the waiting room and there's another person.
Come oh, yikes. Get them in.
What's your favourite episode then, Geraldine?
I loved the ISL episode because we spent such a long time trying to organize. And like that was like at the very, I'd say after we did the dyslexia episode, that was when I kind of also was like, okay, this is where this could go. That I was like, hey, maybe we could actually do an ISL episode. And then it was really difficult for a while to try and organize it in person. I think we talked about it on that episode. Mm-hmm. But then being able to do it was just so, so wonderful. And being able to do it, because we could have done it many, many times and we could have done it wrong. We could have just recorded us with a Caroline or a person who isn't deaf talking about, like just me talking about deaf people, putting it out in a medium that wasn't accessible to deaf people. Like that, I just wasn't okay with that. So to be able to do it and do it in a way that, you know, deaf sign language users could watch, deaf people who hear could watch, and deaf people who just use subtitles could watch, as well as our regular audience. So I think that was probably it was the most meaningful one for me, and particularly because it came at a time that I was almost finished my PhD, so I was almost finished the research on that area. So it was really, really meaningful for me to, because I had at that point interviewed a lot of deaf people and people in the deaf community. And I'm not part of the community. And for them to have let me in was huge. And to be able to do something to like give back in some way, in a very small way, meant a lot to be able to do that. And it was received pretty well in the deaf community as well, which was really,
it was really great. And it was so good. And I think, to be honest with you, the amount of effort that went into that one between the pair of you and everyone you were working with on it, from transcription through to interpretation through to even just getting it done in the first instance, it was great, because we wouldn't have done it about Irish. You know, Derek would never have started a podcast about Irish without bringing Irish speakers on board.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have happened. And we would have been very hypocritical to do that about people with hearing loss or, you know, the deaf community. It just wouldn't have been cool. So it ended up being very cool.
And I think I learned so much from that. And it blew my mind that there was, I guess, two sign languages operational in Ireland, and how this was an issue in the north from because of other divisions, and that this trickled right down to actually how sign languages works. And I think probably a lot of people did not know that. And I'd like to think that more people know it now.
I hope so, yeah, because I don't think it's there. It's not. It's just people just don't know. And I think hopefully I know a lot of the content we touched on was probably like more for like introducing hearing people to deaf culture and deaf people and deaf issues. But I think, look, if I said it on the podcast, I'm sure I did, that like if we could create any sort of allyship, that people would be like, hey, maybe it should be better if you had subtitles, or where's the sign language interpreter? Even just asking those questions is a first step to improving accessibility. But then, so that, like, that was the most meaningful episode for me, but the best crack was always the live shows. Man, the live shows were great. Crack!
I think the biggest substitute teacher moment was probably the Maynooth episode in which a text was interpreted and read live.
Oh, not just any text. The greatest text of all time.
Yeah. Kalashta threesome Gaelge.
We actually speak, there's a good segue here. We have a question from Instagram featuring that particular issue. So the question was from James. I think he's here. Hello, James. When is Pather making the TV show of Kalashta threesome Gaelge?
Oh.
Have you been commissioned by TG Garrity yet?
I can't find a difficult enough rooster.
And they're just hard to come by, man. Yeah, it's hard to cast, you know.
My donkey is too dry.
Yeah. So we're having issues with casting.
My cat's too dry. My donkey isn't bootylicious enough.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We had the original
fucking lost in translation there.
So the title of that, my dad Google translated porno was based on the well known podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Yeah,
but we had the original title we had for that episode never got used.
No, it didn't.
What was the original title? Oh, fuck it, let the people know. I can't remember what it was. Sorry, guys. Do we think it was too dirty? Is that what happened?
It had stuff said no.
I think I remember, actually.
It was two gales, one cup.
Yeah. Mm. I think I voted for that one.
And in fairness, yeah, because, you know, gales wouldn't have been correct, because wouldn't have been correct Irish. That's not the correct plural.
Didn't fucking matter. Grammar is a social construct and no one cared about correct grammar in that fucking translation.
It's Bert Gael, one cup.
Cup of Owen.
Cup of Owen.
Cup of Owen. Yeah, but there wasn't a cup. Was there a cup?
There was not a cup. I don't know. Can we just...
Yeah, that's the reason how stuff didn't let us use that.
Am I a bad person if I say I've expected worse? Yes. Yes. Yes.
No.
The cup is always figurative. Okay. I haven't...
Grant. Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that was our second most popular episode ever.
Oh, no. Someone Googled it. I'm so sorry. No.
Don't Google anything we say.
Don't Google that. Oh, no.
CC.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have to say, my favorite comment ever on any episode we've ever done just came there, and it's in the chat. It's, oh no, Rabbi, oh no. I think that could probably equally apply to any episode.
Yeah. That could. And while Cece's here, one of my favorite guests, one of our absolutely brilliant guests, and when Cece Byer was on the show, absolutely blew my mind. The broader interpretation of how certain passages in the Bible that are sometimes considered justifications for homophobia were actually, you know, just were misinterpreted, taken out of context, and the study of language completely opened this up. And particularly the interpretation of how the creation of humanity in God's image included both genders, or more than one gender, more than two genders, even, should I say, was...
No, you said both.
I'm learning. I'm a learning journey, and I'm not perfect yet.
Yeah, it's just
last episode. Okay.
This is the cancellation episode. We're out here to get us
both in the context of Adam and Eve, rather than the context of the human experience.
We're going to say some heinous shit this week, because cancellation will have no effect.
Good grief. Anyway, so what I was saying is, yes, that was an episode, just one episode when my mind was completely blown on a topic that I thought I understood very well. And it was a... if you can't, that's correct. Finn, our guest from this week's episode, huge response to Finn's episode today, and a topic I really wanted to deal with properly before we wrapped up, because so often people refer to this idea of queer readings of Anton without ever actually going into proper depth about it. And a lot of people said, I keep hearing about this, but I don't fully know what you mean. And today I think I'd like to think that an excellently informative and entertaining guest Finn was, and thank you so much for that, and glad to see you here.
I have to say, fair play to them. They were really, really well informed on the topic, and it's really, really cool. Really cool podcast. Self-cancellation, that's what that scene in 8 Mile is about. Yes, 8 Mile is an absolute classic in the Gaelic Irish poetic tradition. Because satire was so important to like the Gael. So, I mean, that's just rap battles. Like, that's just rap battles. That's what that is. Satirizing other people. Making
it
fit
into a rhyme.
But do
they have their mom's spaghetti?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that involved in it? On
it's like, yeah, my palms are sweaty. Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti.
Something, something spaghetti. Mom's spaghetti.
It's a film about spaghetti.
It's a film about spaghetti. 8 Mile, pro wrestling, gay Irish myth, all the same. Exactly. It's about being sweaty and mom's spaghetti.
You heard it here.
Knees weak, arms spaghetti. Yeah. Turlock O'Carlan versus Eminem. My money's on Turlock.
This is when we had
who's the heel in Anton? Croher McNassa. It's always Croher McNassa. He's the Vince McMahon of the Ulster cycle. I was reading about his death again earlier on today. Do you know the story of Croher McNassa's death?
Tell us.
Basically, somebody, this is so weird, somebody stole a trophy from Croher McNassa's fort, which was the desiccated brain of one of his enemies that had been shrunk down to the size
of a
pebble.
Metal.
Right? And then he put it in his sling and he hooshed it at him and it went in through his temple. So it was lodged in Croher McNassa's brain. And there was nothing there was nothing his doctors could do about it. But they basically said, if you just cool the jets there, Cahir, or some pre-jet airplane metaphor, like if you just chill, right, take it easy, don't ever get too worked up or anything like that. Every time you start to feel angry, just go for a walk or something, have a lie down, bit of rescue remedy, you know, just cool it.
Have you tried the mindfulness app?
Have you tried mindfulness? Yeah. Have you tried jogging? jogging. But basically, if he ever lost his temper or got too enraged, the thing would get dislodged in his brain and it would give him an aneurysm and he would die. And then he found out about Jesus Christ being crucified, and that really fucked him off.
He was raging.
Oh, he was raging. Yeah. He heard about it from someone who heard about it, you know. Word traveled
fast
in them days.
Did you hear what happened, Jesus?
Did you hear there was this lovely Jewish fella over in Palestine, and they fucking killed him. They killed him, Cahir. And
he's like, now wait till you hear how they killed him.
They have killed their king. That's not a very good Armagh accent, and I apologise for that. Anyway, he had a total fucking conniption and pop. The brain inside his brain killed him. Poor Jesus. That's another comment that could be applied to any of our episodes.
Oh no, Rabbi, poor Jesus.
We are equally offensive to all religions.
F's did you, in the chat for Christ.
Didn't you say your wife is from Armagh? No, my wife is from Louth, which is close, but not quite. Yeah.
But not quite.
She's from outside Dundalk. Like, I, Cromagnasa was robbed, got eliminated too early. It wasn't the fucking Royal Rumble.
She didn't lip sync hard enough.
Yeah. Maeve went out. Mira says Maeve went out in a squash match with cheese. That's right. She was killed by cheese.
Did you hear Jesus died? Seamus O'Reilly's next book. I think that one's already written. I think it might be the Bible. I think that's what the Bible is, the subtitle of the Bible. The Bible. Did you hear Jesus died?
That would it's be also a about a father with many children.
Yeah. How many kids? Oof.
But the okay, so there were.
Should I actually give some questions from Instagram?
Yes, yes, more. Yes, yes. Okay, let's do that.
So the let's see. What's the best county from Anta, who's here? Wichita County, Kansas. No, I don't know anything about Wichita County.
What's the best county? Okay, I'm going to throw a further caveat to that. You can't pick your own.
I wasn't gonna.
Yeah. Well, that's obvious.
I'm gonna say Cork, actually, because I think Kerry's always the winner. Like, oh, Kerry's class, Kerry's lovely. Yeah. You have to go to Cork before you go to Kerry, first of all, so like, you wouldn't have to go as far to get to Cork, and Cork has lovely bits in it. Leash is not the best county, Richard Flynn. Come on now. It's not. Even I know that. It's not the best county.
David says Sligo for the baths and the whispery talkers. It's like, you know, you can have a bath in any county.
Yeah, they have baths. They have running water almost in the rest nationwide. Of the county as well. Like Shaw's.
I'm not sure about Leitrim, basically, but almost.
Sligo's got the waves.
Donegal for the win. We have.
Donegal's too far away. Sorry, it's too far away.
I think.
And it's not connected by train, so, you know, we're just not going to...
Don't trigger any Donegal person in here. Jesus Christ. Don't mention the T words.
But they don't talk like that while you bathe. The whispery talk... Oh, so it's the baths and the whispery talkers together.
So it's a combination. Why? Just get ASMR in a bath. It'd be grand.
Yeah, why is anybody else listening? Why is anybody there when you're... How do you bathe?
Speaking of ASMR...
I have to say categorically no.
What's in Longford?
Oh, Tarmanbarry is very pretty. Tarmanbarry is a very pretty little village where you cross the Shannon.
That sounds made up. Sounds not real. Don't believe it's real.
There are seaweed baths. Ah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In Sligo, they have those elsewhere. You can get those in a spa in Portlaoise. Like, come on now.
Awfully for Obama Plot. No.
I'm going to say something very controversial here. The Obama Plaza is not that great.
It's a petrol station.
Yeah, but as petrol stations go, everyone's like, wow, it's the greatest petrol station of all time. Is it though? The M14 is what was called?
Which
Junction 14?
Which is basically the same but newer. It's a petrol station with a Supermax in it. I mean, Christ on a bike. Kerry's the best county.
I think we've had a lot of Derry-based guests on the show who have been excellent. And in fairness, Derry seems to... And also, I think Derry's very much having a moment. at the moment.
A resurgence, as it were.
Yes.
Derry is the Iceland of Ireland.
I mean, between Maeve McDade, Seamus O'Reilly, and I think we had another Derry guest who isn't coming straight to mind. I know I was trying to get a very big Derry guest on, but...
Nadine Coyle.
No, I was...
The 3rd of the 8th, 19. Oh.
Making me a Gemini. What sort of birth did I give?
But we also have
Dana. Yeah, it was Dana. Derek was trying to get Dana.
We were going to have a conversation about the Constitution, how much we loved it.
Yeah. I was trying to get Lisa McGee.
I love this document.
but obviously with Derry Girls at the moment, with Seamus O'Reilly, with and I suppose, and with your man, with, is he married to Courtney Cox yet? Or is he just stepping out with her?
Who?
The fella from Snow Patrol.
Yeah.
I thought they were off now, to be honest, because wasn't there... That was David Schwimmer and the other one that they thought they were shifting.
I mean, so, yeah, I think we found ourselves talking about Derry a lot. We found ourselves, a lot of our most popular guests episodes have involved Donegal people or Donegal guests. It's been a huge thing. Our episode on Donegal Irish, Paul and Nikeji and Anton Bjug, always hugugely popular guests.
Carol McGrathy from Donegal as well.
Carol McGrathy and Roisin McNally as well.
That was a fantastic episode. Stepping out with, doing a line. Are they still doing the
line? Doing the line very well.
Snap.
All the counties are great. All the counties have lovely bottoms.
I think all of the counties that have Gaeltachtaí are lovely. Waterford, Cork, Kerry, Galway, Mayo, Donegal, and fuck Meath. Fuck it.
I think we can all agree that Cavan is the worst, though. I think we can all agree.
Although
on that.
I do love Rackarn. I do love Rackarn as an area. It's just absolutely
just
beautiful.
Not
it's the rest of Meath. It's the concept of Meath.
It's Trim. It's just the idea.
No, I like
Nobber,
Trim. I like Trim. Hate Navan.
Navan.
Trim.
I find that
Trim is fine. Navan is terrible. Navan is hell on earth.
Cavan people are less sensitive about their county stereotype than all the other counties that have stereotypes. Like, you think Dublin people are very sensitive about all the Dublin stereotypes. Northsiders, Southsiders, very sensitive. Cork people are so sensitive about sounding like they're always being accused of something.
Why would you say that, like?
Galway people are so sensitive about the whole, you know, that somebody dipped a red dreadlock in craft beer, left it on top of an amp, got electrocuted, and the first Galway person was invented.
Roscommon is doing better by not being mentioned. I forgot about Roscommon. I think Ireland forgot about Roscommon.
Forgot about Roscommon, yeah.
I think Roscommon got dragged very hard for that one referendum result in, you know, January there, and they got dragged very hard.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them for that, like, in the slightest.
No,
it's a demographic question, you know?
Yeah.
Young people left Roscommon in a big way because there's fucking nothing in Roscommon.
Roscommon, yeah. I don't think I'd be confident to, like, points to Roscommon.
Offaly in shambles.
Offaly's shite. Tullamore is a hole. Yeah, fuck
Offaly. Leash and Offaly are real Springfield, Shelbyville.
I'm going to stop you there, son. I'm going to stop you there when you started the sentence with Leash and Offaly are. That's what I'm going to stop you, okay? They are nothing, is what they are, okay? They're separate entities.
Have you come across the slang term Buffalo, Gardine?
Biffo.
There's Biffo, which stands for?
Big. Ignorant.
Yeah.
Fella from Offaly.
Yes. Ignorant fucker from Offaly. Really, realistically. But have you heard the term Buffalo?
No, what's Buffalo?
It's a big ugly fucker from around Leash Offaly. You'd have to write that down.
That's where she left. No, I'm back.
Speaking of county rivalries and also ASMR, which got mentioned there, and mentioned Sligo, the podcast has made some funny enemies over the years between the ASMR community, the pagan community.
I'm sorry.
The ASMR community are my enemies because I don't trust, I think there's something weird going on and they won't tell me that there is. They're like, oh, there's nothing weird here. It's all very normal. Sounds like a cult. Like, that sounds exactly what the Scientologists say.
I received correspondence at this implying... I received correspondence implying that that my comment in which I suggested that there might be a sexual aspect to ASMR was...
I called them a bunch of perverts.
And that's, you said that your happened. Trousers was round. They're Mickey's. That's what you said, Derek. You said Mickey doesn't look relaxed and I laughed for days.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah.
I think the problem was, I think there are people who actually are interested in paganism and certain traditional...
Auntie wants to know, of the ASMR perverts, why are they whispering? Why are they quiet? Have you ever heard a loud pervert? Come on.
They're always talking like this.
That's just breathing heavily behind you.
And again, we should realise that a pervert from Louth. Well, hey,
is Louthy isn't worthy.
Oh, loud. The trick is two shots of NyQuil before the ASMR. Now that, I will go for that. That is the shit, yes.
NyQuil is the one that makes you sleepy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it's good the one. Good shit, yeah.
Good American stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Knock you right out.
Can you hook us up, Mira? Can you hook us up with a NyQuil? No. You can send it over.
So I think there are, what I was saying with Besh, I mean, there are people with an interest in paganism and witchcraft, Wicca, with a Celtic angle and things like this, which are completely sincere. The issue really was that sometimes this has been a pipeline to certain kinds of nasty extremisms, which have maybe a fig leaf of paganism around them, and certain Irish mythological tropes have been adopted by some very, very bad dudes.
Yeah. My particular issue was the Samhain people on Netflix. That was my particular issue with the people who celebrate Samhain. Those people. Particularly the makers of the Sabrina show with Sally Draper. Those people can get buffed. And you heard it here first. Garradine is starting a feud with the makers of whatever that fucking shit Sabrina show is.
And I am delighted that for 4 years we have continuously pissed off racists, transphobes and Nazis.
Yay. Misogynists can get fucked. Yeah. Mm. Every man who complained about my voice on this show, stay mad. Love that. Complain about my swearing, get fucked.
Samhain is absolutely going to be my porno name though for when I make the... Colossal Threesome Gwelga television series for
Sam Hain. Starring Sam Hain as Sam boy Hain number one.
Good grief. Well,
wasn't there one of them had a really Protestant name? What was his name?
Oh, Corey or some shit like that. Corey, like
Melvin, wasn't it?
Melvin. Fucking yeah, Melvin.
Melvin was one of the characters. Melvin was one of the characters in Colossal Threesome Gwelga. Yeah. I think now that it's the last episode, we can finally admit that in our research on the Colossal Threesome Gwelga book, there's actually, it was in 40 different languages, this particular text was translated. So it was Colossal Threesome Portuguese, Colossal Threesome Basque, and obviously it was called Colossal in those languages.
Collegia Threesome Italiano. It was really...
I'm not going to try in Swedish. Finish, I don't know.
Swedish or Finnish.
Finish having a fucking clue.
But this author just basically wrote a text and whatever. I'm not sure what the initial language is, and just Google translated into everything and sold to as many languages as possible.
The original one was definitely Berle.
Yeah.
I was definitely Berle.
Yeah.
Because just when anything was untranslatable, that's...
Yeah, threesome. It reverted to English.
Which you don't really have in a good God-fearing language like Irish, of course.
Exactly.
Except we always had.
Devaldra has a word for threesome. In the 1959 folklore, it's right there. Yeah. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. It's right there. Obviously, in that case, I think it's like a threesome in cards or something.
Yeah.
Or that's allegedly. Well, Maria is right.
Deneen the dirty dog, huh? But we pissed off a lot of people, and I'm really happy. Some of the people we pissed off in cards. Euphemism. Some of the people we pissed off are the best people to piss off, because we did an episode on the Eighth Amendment and we pissed off some people who were very upset that we took a stance on something, and I was like, I don't give a shit. This is not publicly funded. I don't have to show balance, whatever the fuck that is. So.
Speaking of people getting pissed off, do you remember after the episode when we read out pornography, and somebody really, really lost it at us on Twitter and told us that our job was to educate.
To educate? Yeah.
I was like, is it?
And I was like,
is it?
A job? This is it. Where the fuck is my paycheck?
It raised a larger point, the idea that anyone involved in the Irish language anyway is basically is doomed to own the world a favor. And... is doomed to owe the world a favour, and it basically is obliged to educate every single one.
I'm sorry, just one of the calls, educating that ass.
So I think, yes, it definitely raised... it raised a kind of up the idea that if you're doing anything in Irish, then you are effectively public property to be a free translation service to be patient with people. And the idea also is that you're the one who needs to make the effort. And people, and a recurring thing, I think it's sometimes you would get kind of people say, well, like, how do I learn? How do I become fluent without making any effort at all? Like, what can you do for me here? Hit me up, Derek.
How will these people make me fluent? Make me fluent, please. And I'm like, I'd like to talk about this threesome Ascoilge where there's a very difficult rooster. That's what I'm interested in talking about. I don't know what you guys, but I'm very interested.
There's a comment in the chat from Cal. It's like, and now we move on to liars, which I think is a good hint to move on to the next question.
Yes, indeed. From Instagram. Let's have the next question.
And now to the liars. And now to all the men.
Enough score settling for now.
Sorry, so some of the questions... have you guys heard of the Gaeltacht in Canada? We have one, yes.
Yeah, heard of it. Yeah, I've actually interviewed
an Oireachtas there a few years ago.
They do some sort of Oireachtas adjacent events over there. Yeah, I've interviewed Arlt a couple of times. One of the guys who's working over there. It's gas. I just think it's class. Like, just deciding to set up a Gaeltacht outside Ireland somewhere, and why not? Why not Canada? Why not Ontario? And it's not even in, like, it's not even in St. John and Newfoundland, like the most Irishy bit. It's not even in the bit where they all sound like they're from Dungarvan.
Yeah.
Like, literally all of them. It's over in Ontario. But yeah, we have heard of that. That's great.
They have a Scottish, Scots Gaelic.
There's a Scots Gaelic translation of Anne of Green Gables, which recently came out, and it was because obviously on Prince Edward Island would have had a lot of Gaelic spoken, probably a bit of a mix, I'm sure, given the Canada's historical context. But that was a very worthwhile project, and I was glad we were able to use the Mother Folklore account to keep it going, Kickstarter. Yeah. By the way, while we're on the topic, yes, while the podcast is wrapping up, I'm still hoping to find a way to keep the Mother Folklore account as a rotation facility and a way of promoting cultural projects of note. It's my intention to find a way to keep that going. It may not necessarily be weekly curations, but the account will still be a place where people who are involved in interesting things can bring that to an audience who are likely to be interested in it.
I was hoping that the account would get really into posting like conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would just start dipping its toe in and then like starting getting real severe. You know, that's what I was hoping.
But like never the offensive ones. Like, you know what I mean?
No,
just the most batshit conspiracy theories you could think of.
Yeah. That money's not, Finland's not real. That sort of one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, does anybody have Deneen knew about X-ray machines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly that sort of batshit weird conspiracy that nobody could possibly ever believe. Like, has anybody got conclusive proof of the existence of Longford? Not sure.
Exactly. It's all a conspiracy. Those road signs, where are they leading? Who knows? No one's ever been there.
I used to work with a lot.
Do you know anyone that's been there? I don't.
I used to work for a lad called from Longford, and I asked him, was it much crack when being in Longford? And he said, I'll show you how much crack it is. It's not much crack at all. He showed me, if you looked up Longford and some other words on YouTube, and it was a video of these bored teenagers in Longford who were so bored, they started basically, you know, kicking each other in the nuts.
Wow.
And
that's a great story, Derek. I'm really glad you saved that one to the last.
And I was like, hang on a second. And I said, you're telling me this is the first thing you get when you look for Longford on YouTube. And no, it isn't. They've got some new videos since then. But I think for...
Was Maura Higgins from Longford? That's what they want you to think?
Yeah, she's actually from Westmeath.
She was actually created in a lab.
Yeah. That's why she doesn't have any Catholic guilt.
They are.
Yeah, they just kept that out of her. Molded from clay. Yeah.
They call her the Immaculate Contraption.
Anyway, so do you have more questions from Instagram there?
Another one, where can we see you guys henceforth? Gonna miss you. Oh, thank you very much. So where can you see us? Probably shit posting on Twitter mostly. Like that's where I'm gonna be. I'm sure I mentioned I'm moving on in I think November. By the end of the year anyway, it should be started in a new project with the University of Birmingham. Yeah, I'm going to be, hopefully, the plan was initially to use some podcasting to communicate research, kind of in a similar way to the way I did with, way we did with the ISL episode. I'm not sure what form that will take. it will be research communication, so there will be less swearing, I'd imagine. I'm not going to say no, but no swearing, but there will be less swearing. Can't say there'll be less men complaining about my voice, though. I think that's a constant fact of life. Yeah, that's probably where I'll be, but I'll be tipping away at, tweeting about pockets and getting mad about people saying that Irish is a dead language probably once a month. Having to deal with Aer Lingus not having fathers. Yeah, that's where I'll be. Still raging. Still having that same fucking conversation.
I'm doing a new podcast that is more related to what I'm actually qualified to talk about, which is about aging in Ireland. And that's already started. So that'll be every 2 weeks for the rest of the year. Also recorded in the podcast studios, the lovely podcast studios that we didn't get to spend enough time in.
No.
You know, so that's my podcasting side of things. And then politics will take up a huge amount of my time. Yeah. Because it does already. It's massive. Derek, you've got plans afoot. There's a bit of writing.
Certainly since before COVID, I realized that, you know, that obviously the satisfaction of finishing a podcast is great and it happens every week. On one level, you're rushing to do it. On the other level, you know, it's the idea that, yes, every week you think, yes, I made that episode. It exists. People are responding to it. It's great. Whereas writing a book is a much more long drawn out process. And I did find that maybe it was easier for me to commit to the podcast and commit to the book, even though, the rewards are there. So I found that, yes, book three has definitely been delayed. And definitely I'm hoping to be able to spend more time working on that. And it's historically based, but it's a work of fiction. So it'll be different from Motherfucker and Crack Baby. But it's, it's still by me. It's still my ideas, the kind of shite I'm interested in. So yes, it's about a number of overlapping stories in mid-20th century Ireland where there was... where politics and art were a lot closer than they are today in terms of how in Dublin City, the new politicians and poets and writers and sports people did just bump into each other and have a huge influence on each other's thinking in a very formative time. And it is something I'm really hoping I will be able to finish next year now that podcast is gone. Also, I'm hoping that, yes, in my day job, I'll be able to promote Irish culture in a different way as well.
I love historical fiction. It's a real fucking, it's a real cop out way of writing. Like, you know, can't solve anything with a mobile phone. Can't CSI your way around the fucking murder because it's 1951.
For me, if you're writing a piece of historical fiction, particularly about Ireland, where so much stuff.
Sorry to interrupt. I hope you blurb the back of Derek's book and it's just like, but historical fiction, a real cop.
But this isn't like. Bad.
Sorry, go on, Derek.
If you're writing a biography of someone and, you know, we can't use that story that everyone knows is true because, you know, facts and stuff and evidence, but like in a piece of fiction, you get the license to, like, we know that, like, that during the emergency, the British tried to recruit Patrick Cavan as a spy.
The Brits, and a great bunch of course, lads.
And like if he was good, we'd never know because that's what you're not supposed to know about good spies.
All they had to do to fucking wrap up the war in 1941 with a nice little fucking bow on it before even the Yanks got involved was point him at Germany and said they wrote a bad review of his latest book of poetry.
Pretty much.
Patrick Cavanagh would have been a fucking terrible spy.
He'd have fucking swam to Dusseldorf. Who wrote this? Knock the fucking head of Orwell.
But this was the thing. John Betjeman was.
Your mouth.
John Betjeman was in the press office of the British Embassy at the time, and he kept seeing this odd guy, this Patrick Cavanagh fella, and he said, "Who is this? Like, who is this crazy, you know, untidy, bad-tempered guy?" And he said, "Well, he just gets invited everywhere. He knows everyone. He knows John Macmillan. He knows John Charles McQuaid. He is their friend. He just gets invited everywhere. He is has been doing a lot of smuggling over the border, and he can carry himself somewhat in a fight." And he thought, and Betjeman was like, "Well, that's exactly what you want in a spy, a guy who gets invited everywhere, can deck someone and is comfortable doing a bit of smuggling."
A guy who everyone fucking hates notoriously. Everyone's like, wow, that fucking guy is here again. Let's not talk to him.
The last thing you want in a spy is someone who at the drop of a fucking hat will take off his shirt, jump on the table and go, I'm Paddy Kavanaugh, you bastard, so I am.
And
That we've also taken up, this podcast has many legacies, but one of them is how we'll shit on Paddy Kavanaugh and fucking Yates. Like, fuck those guys. If I could start a fight with both of those guys, I would.
National treasures.
Not here, guys.
And then there's this other story. I mean, there's so many of the fights we know about Paddy Kavanaugh, the ones he lost, like Patty Hillary, president, who went on to become president of Ireland, was a medical student at the same time as Hilda Moriarty, who was this inspiration of Raglan Road, but also was married to Donal O'Malley. And Paddy Kavanaugh hated Donal O'Malley and often could turn up at his events, at his public events, to boo him.
Weirdo! Will you leave the woman alone?
Yeah, leave the woman alone. And at one point, then, like, Dr. Hillary said, "Listen, here's a 6-shilling note. Go buy yourself a drink. Leave O'Malley alone." And Paddy Kavanaugh said, "No, he took them. He said, I'll take your money, but I won't go." And then, apparently, at this stage, then the man who had become president of Ireland decked Paddy Kavanaugh.
Nice.
And
that's probably why he became president of Ireland.
You know,
what was his platform? I decked Paddy Kavanaugh. That guy's a dick.
It's like when our current president and national treasurer, Michael Lee Higgins, called some guy a wanker on national radio.
Oh my God, if you've not heard it, like, Google it. It's there on YouTube. He called some guy who's being an anti-Semite, should he?
Stop whipping up fear like a wanker.
Oh, it's hooking into my veins. If that should have been our intro, it shouldn't have been the 8-bit of the Irish National Anthem. It should have just been Michael D. calling some guy a wanker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't think we would have got past episode one in that.
So we're in the last, I suppose, we probably got maybe 10-15 minutes prepared to wrap things up. But yeah. I'd love to ask if anyone who's here tonight has some more questions for us. We'd love to answer if we can.
There's one indeed. From Instagram that we haven't asked. Yes, could we come back and do a Christmas special? And I think I said in one of the episodes that we plan to do like Westlife, when one of us gets really, really, makes a lot of bad investments, that we'll be like, oh, it's a comeback tour. We'll make you all buy really extortion tickets.
Yeah. When I when I do my best Paddy Kavanaugh impression and get in a fight at the Irish Embassy in Berlin. So now I'm Paddy Kavanaugh.
Realised that you are Paddy Kavanaugh.
I'm not Paddy anything.
He had a brother called Peter, didn't he?
He did have a brother called Peter Kavanaugh.
You could pass as a Paddy Kavanaugh.
he had a brother called Peter Kavanaugh, who I have finally overtaken in SEO.
Oh, that's winning at life.
Because he's dead and I'm still creating content.
You're still shitposting.
Still shitposting, baby. I'm Peter Kavanaugh. Yeah. Yeah, but when are you going to challenge ISIS to a fight? I'll tell you a good one. It's a question that's come in. It's not me asking that question. When are you going to challenge ISIS to a fight? You know, Turishk. It was Nos. It was Nos. It wasn't Turishk. I should give them their due. I can't remember who it was. It was one of them anyway. One of our wonderful Irish language. When I was running for election, one of our wonderful Irish language magazines, online magazines, asked me if I was doing the ISIS salute when I was holding up my finger for a vote number one in every photo I was taking.
Gas. Are you?
So it's like candidate. Well known. This is the problem about being an Irish speaker and trying to do anything in public life. It's you become Gaelgor Ahanta, well known Gaelgor.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Gaelgor Ahanta, Patrick Kavanaugh denies membership of ISIS.
Denies?
Just the headline.
That sounds like it's up to debate for debate. Like, he denies it, but here's all the evidence.
But here's all the evidence.
This is because once you deny it, that's a headline, you know? It's shocking stuff. But the.
Did any of you bring the Fad Oak Stone? I didn't. No, I don't have. Did anyone here bring the old Fad Oak Stone? Anyone for a song? Father, you're a great man for a song. Arise, shine like diamonds.
That's another Tommy Bow disaster. Do you remember that?
He did not.
Yeah, do you not
did
remember?
Did he sing that?
Yeah,
he sang it.
When we won the half the battle in politics is getting your opponent to deny they've had intercourse with a pig. That doesn't work. David Cameron literally had intercourse with a pig, and it didn't matter. It just didn't affect him at all. Just brazing your way through. Tommy Bow was basically, they pranked him. Poor Tommy. He was young when we won the Six Nations Grand Slam in, I think, 2005 or whatever it was, and he was a little bit three sheets to the wind. He was he was a wee bit tired and emotional on the back of a lorry in, I think it was Merrion Square or somewhere. And literally one of the other rugby players said, right, come on, we'll give you a song. Tommy will give you a song. So Tommy Bow basically got up and he sang Her Eyes, They Shone Like Diamonds. And it was kind of like, Her Eyes, They Shone Like Diamonds. Land. What about Her Eyes? Her Eyes, They Shone.
That's all you need to know for that song, though. Yeah, you just kind of mumble the rest of it and they go, what about Her Eyes? And then people go, Yeah, that's a good one. I was recently doing my wedding playlist with much input, actually, from the MoFo team. They were very good. And that one makes an appearance. One of my bridesmaids will probably sing that at about 1:30 in the morning. She'll need a bit of encouragement. But yeah, if anyone has any good tunes to play at an Irish wedding, like Wagon Wheel, please put them in the chat. That'd be great. I could easily mine you for some good content. But yeah, any last call, guys, essentially, any questions or any comments? Somebody had more of a question than, or more of a comment than a question, which I appreciate.
Let's roll,
thank you
up
very
in
much.
The chat there, hang on.
Yeah, that was lovely. Favorite Irish word?
Nobody's ever asked us that. Oh my God.
I got asked that, and I think it might have changed a bit. I initially said Smuglerone, which I do. It's a class word. That's a great word. And Kirsten Cheel has a lovely bit of Smuglerone artwork for one. It might have been that podcast. I'm not sure.
It's for the Ruth Eve podcast.
Yeah, really, really good artwork for that. Jesus, no one ever asks me that, so I don't actually have one. That's gas. I don't.
Less of a question, more than a comment. This is Ella Hassett. Hi, Ella. You have done so much for Angelga, as made accessible to people and dismantled so many pre-existing notions, will soon start demanding a census of Irish speakers and learners, as I do believe this podcast inspire people to reconnect it or learn from it from scratch. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just so you know, the podcast is a hit in Gaelic Nova Scotia. Have Super Sound has stuck. Favourite Irish word. I'm going to cop out. Absolute. Cop out and say it's not a word but a phrase. Shirawalya. Shirawalya is my favorite phrase, my favorite pairing of words in any language. I would say it's like, you know, they say in English that like there's cellar door.
Yeah.
Is the most beautiful phrase in the English language for some reason. Christ knows why. Because that's where all the murders happen, like down in the cellar door. Like, if you even have a cellar. If anyone in Ireland has a cellar, they're definitely a serial killer. There's no two ways about
why
it.
Why else would you have a cellar? Why else would you have a cellar? Rainwater.
Like, yeah. If you live in an area where there's hurricanes, I can imagine, all right, cellar's probably useful. But anyway, was it Tolkien? It was J.R.R. Tolkien who said cellar door.
He said some other mad shit, you know that?
Yeah, well, he was a fucking lunatic. But, I mean,
He said that that English cuisine is better than French cuisine.
Ah, for God's sake, get a grip on yourself. Fucking jelly deal, come on now. God's sake.
Yeah, fucking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, sure, will you? It means westward home. And it's kind of, because if you're in Galway City, or if you're in Tralee or Killarney, and you're going back to the Gaeltacht, you're going sure, will you? And I love it. I think it's great. If I'm going to sure, will you? I just think it's fantastic. Derek, we get to ask you, what's your favourite Irish word?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I like Tyveshore.
Tyveshore?
Yeah. Yeah, a person who tells ghost stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like Tyvesha as a ghost as well. I like the Tyvesha's sound.
Tyvesha's a nice word, yeah.
Because it sounds a little bit like a ghost. Tyvesha.
I like Intake, because Intake. I think... I think the English, is it intuitive or something in English is how you translate it, but it's not the same.
So it sounds better.
It's both intuitive and understandable.
It's understanding. So understanding without having to think about it, kind of thing. Yeah. So yeah, it's
much
better than.
Good bonus of
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a word that is of itself. Like, it's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, something I really, really love about Irish is just how you can see these little patterns in the language that just are, like how a lot of words that begin with S have total opposites that begin with D.
D.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of Durcha is Surcha. The opposite of Searsha is Deersha. Like, I love that. I just like that. We've gone through 185 episodes. I've never pointed out how much I like that. So I like that.
I love Irish is great, isn't it?
Classic.
That's class. Love Irish.
It's a fucking class.
I know.
That's okay.
Least favorite Irish word. I don't have one.
They're all beautiful.
Yeah, I think initially I would have, like very early in this podcast, I probably would have said something like an Englishy, fakey, Englishy word. But I'm like, what are words? What is grammar? Nothing. I don't understand. Mm. Did you understand? Then I understood.
Least favorite Irish word? Glushton. Go Dark. Fuck yourself.
Pather, get out. Get out. Derek, cancel it.
Least favorite Irish word.
I don't have any strong fucking feelings on Glushton versus Carr. I don't care.
Okay, so listen, the Glushton versus Carr thing is like, I think there's certain perpetual topics that are never going to go. We did our best to slay the Diarrhea down discourse. No, we still get people saying, I just don't feel, you know, OMG, I don't feel like using religious language. And people say, well, yeah, they'll still say, ah, Jesus. When they step on something or something goes mathematically wrong.
Or they'll still say goodbye on Wednesday. Like, even though they don't believe in God or fucking Woden.
Still, I think the Rabbi St. Thomas Margaret, absolutely, that's the one. So I think there's, and even just today here, the last day of the podcast, someone had the gall to ask me about the origin of crack and if it's actually an English word that wasn't, that we nicked. That like... Hey, we got her to do it. We got her to do it.
Jesus Christ. Do you know those videos?
So what if we did though? Like, so what if we did?
So what? Like, do you know those videos of him? You see like Bernie Sanders from the 70s saying the same shit that he's saying now, and you're like, God, is he not tired? And like, I feel that on the core. Like, are you not tired? Are you not tired of asking? Because I'm fucking tired of talking about it.
If we nicked it, it's ours now, as John says.
We deserve it.
I wanted to I want to give a little bit of recognition to John Hyland for his work in troll translations or troll etymologies of. John, thank you so much for bringing a lot of humor to the internet and winding up some very serious people suggesting ridiculous Irish origins to English words.
I don't know what you're talking about, this troll.
No, like, that's 100% true.
He's providing a service. How dare you? Yeah. Like,
they are as true as you know, pineapple belongs in a coddle. It is just 100% legit.
Fried banana belongs in a carbonara. The Italians will tell you. It's the way that everyone's nana made it.
It's the way my nana made it. Absolutely. If you believe something, it's true. No, that's true. That is true. It's like, it's the gestalt of the that's all this is. It's basically one language is one massive psychic gestalt that if we all believe in something enough, it will become true. And if we all use language in a certain way, it will become true. I was thinking Tinkerbell, but not even Tinkerbell. I'm talking about a massive world-generating psychic gestalt.
Is this like the Lewis being free?
It was always free.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. All right. Why would the Lewis that's what Lewis means. That's the Irish word for free is Lewis. Yeah.
Indeed. God, that's so... I mean, like, with the...
title of the episode. What is it? A massive psychic gestalt?
Or the Lewis is free.
The Lewis is free.
Yeah.
the biggest freestanding
gestalt in the world.
Yeah, so maybe, thank you, John, for providing etymology to the world. And to
maybe the hidden Mickeys were the friends we made along the way.
Maybe the freestanding Mickeys.
Yeah, yeah.
The friends we made along the way. Maybe the friends we made along the way were freestanding Mickeys.
And would you be fond of the odd ride yourself, Wanda?
That's the title of this episode.
I don't know about Wanda's y'all, but I feel educated. Educate that ass, am I right?
When are we going to get a paycheck from the Department of Education for providing this much needed public service for fuck's sake?
Your job.
They sent us an email education. Today.
Did they?
Did fuck. Did they really?
Oh, shit. What do they want?
I've no idea. It's
cease and desist letter. Yeah. Stop what you're doing.
Just we've actually asked you to stop speaking Irish. Please, for the love of God.
You're doing a disservice.
Anyway. So I suppose the time has come to say that for these past 4 years, I never expected this would develop into what it has. I've enjoyed getting so much correspondence from you, seeing people listening to the episodes, sharing the episodes, talking about them. It's been a huge adventure, and I'm glad that the podcast will still be available to people to find in years to come and for people to share in years to come. I hope you'll continue your journeys with Irish or with whichever other minority languages are close to your heart. And I hope that, yes, you will. I'm glad that you've invited us into your headphones very much. And I'm really going to miss having you all every week. So I just want to say thank you so much for that. Gurmeel Maghav, and it's a slán from me.
It's a slán from me.
Agus slán wemshe. Slán. I won the poll.
Guys.
I won the poll, Gary.
I know you fucking won the poll.
I am Miss Congeniality. And you came at the king and you missed.
I can't. I was fucking robbed. People gave, this is how Boris Johnson is in charge. This is how Brexit happened. Sure. People gave a sympathy vote. They never thought it was going to happen.
I ruffled my hair and I acted like an incompetent buffoon. But no, realistically, I knew what I was doing all the time.
No. The next year they'll change the rules. It has to be everyone, but it has to be just us because the fan favorite. You're the Valentina. I'm the Aja. Like, I'm not sure if you understand that reference.
I don't get that reference.
But anyone who does in the chat, this is what's happening, okay?
Okay.
Thanks to all right, lads. Can we just, before we wrap up, just say a few thanks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. God, where we start? I want to start Head Stuff. Alan Bennett and Paddy in Head Stuff for allowing us to use the studios and introducing us to Brian. Brian, our amazing producer, who's given so much creativity and ingenuity to the episode. Like things like the Peg episode, the wonderful montage at the end of that just doesn't happen by accident. It involved a bit of work, a bit of arrangement, and he has been giving me some incredible feedback and advice and also kind of a reassurance in times when I felt things weren't going well, and I'm so grateful to that. Kirsten Scheel, our amazing artist, I asked her to kind of, I thought we need a little title page. She came up with the idea of doing episode art each week, and she volunteered for a heck of a task, and I think that you're not a true Gael until you got your own profile pic on Twitter. I'm joking, I'm being flippant. Obviously.
You have to say you're being flippant. You have to say it.
Yes, I unfortunately have to be flippant. I think it has been one of the great honours on Irish Twitter to have Kirsten Scheel portrait.
Yeah.
Get Kirsten. And so that's been something. Wow, these are amazing guests. There's other people to attack, of course, aren't there?
Other people to thank. There's so many. There's so many. Like, there's all the regulars, all the people who were with us right the way through, from guests like Emer, Shun, Ulla, even Oscar, who's Clodagh. Popped up on a couple of episodes. Clodagh, so many. We're going to leave people out. So apologies, but just to every single one of the listeners right the way through, the interaction around episodes and the likes, it's been absolutely fantastic. Just to know that we've been creating something that some people have enjoyed and that some people have gotten worked up about, it's brilliant. It's fantastic. And every single interaction about any kind of content that we created has been great. And in particular to like everyone who's here this evening, I keep hitting my microphone with my headphones, which is not a good thing. But to everyone who's been here this evening, like you're the best ones. You're the very best fans. If you're listening to this right now, you are the rightiest, most lovely, bestest fans in the whole world, and we love you. We love you so much. You're kind of like family.
Yeah.
So like, I will only want to see you once a year, but I'll enjoy that. I'll enjoy that. I'll enjoy your company.
I want to say a special thank you as well to, in particular, our listeners from abroad, because as an immigrant, it can feel very distant from being home and it can be very difficult to be far away. So having the connection to other Irish people or people with Irish heritage being so far away has been, and knowing that we were able to like enter people's headphones and give them that feeling of home, that's for me been the most wonderful thing, and felt so, so wonderful to be able to do that for people. And yeah, it's been I felt a connection being part of it, and it's been really, really wonderful. And at home, particularly in COVID times, home didn't feel too far away because of this podcast. So thank you all so much for being part of this and for making me feel a little bit more like I was at home.
Yeah, I'm going to lose it now.
Sorry. Oh, fuck.
Oh, God. Sure, look, will we stay in touch? Will we stay in touch, lads?
We'll stay in touch.
We'll chat at Christmas.
Yeah. We'll see you all on the social medias and on the... Will you keep the Discord going? Will we keep the Discord going?
Yes, the Discord going. I'm going to open the Discord up to non-Patreon people. So anyone who's enjoyed the show and who's interested in the show and wants to find other fans to chat with, the motherfucker Discord is going to be available. It's going to be openly available to people who have an interest in it. And yes, indeed. So we'll never be too far away. Motherfucker will live on as in that format, in that and other forms. Yeah.
Right. So, I need a fucking drink.
Yeah, me too. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Okay. You are. Slán.
Big slán.
Slán.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Swear to God, one national newspaper calls him honey-toned or honey-voiced. Honey-voiced.
Honey-toned.
Honey-toned, even better, because that could be my voice or
that'd
my muscles.
That'd be on his fucking gravestone. Here lies honey-toned Darragh.
Indeed. So, okay. I think all right. housekeeping done.
We'll go for a take.